We're going to be kind of moving around today, the Word of God. So I'm going to tell you to write down some of these scriptures as we go to them, because a lot of times we might not have the time for waiting for you to turn to them. But the title of this message is The Branch.
All right.
The Branch. The Branch. I'm going to do a little teaching here. We know about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And a lot of debate has happened over the years because the first three sound so much like each other. You know, they were saying discrepancies about them. You know how people get, they want to criticize. Well, how they copying off of each other and all of this type of stuff. Well, God had an intent on why those first three are so similar. You have to study those things out, because a lot of times those things may present a story or an event, but they may be similar, but they are not the same. And that's very important for you to look at. Okay, so we're going to look at the branch. First, we're going to go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Ninth chapter and the 9th verse. We're going to start there. The branch. God said, I'm going to have me. There are many things that have came into the earth and have grown upon their own account and grown their own way. And things have grown crooked. But God says, I'm going to have me a growth in the earth. And it's going to be my growth. And I'm going to call it forth my branch. Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the reason why he is telling about this, because Jehovah is presenting the Lord as his king.
Okay.
That's what the book of Matthew represents. The book represents Jehovah as king. It's telling you to rejoice greatly, and calling you to tell others to rejoice. We rejoice about the things of God. And if God has been good to you, just like I've been saying about James Brown, ain't he good to you? If God has been good to you, then you want to express that to other people and tell them about this great one that's coming. Now here it says, rejoice, O daughters of Jerusalem, and shout, O daughters of Zion, and shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's coming unto us. He is just and having salvation. His character and his nature is just, and he has salvation. And the reason why he has salvation, he suffered and died and came through it. Therefore, he has power over it and can offer it to you. This is that great king. Come on and give God some praise. Now, he's not a high-minded king. Notice what he's coming into town on. The donkey. He's lowly. In other words, that he's accessible. Some kings or some people are not accessible. Some pastors and some preachers are not accessible. But this one who God has raised up as his branch is accessible. Anyone can come to him. Why? Because he has humility in his heart. And that's what he's come to do. Now, Jeremiah 23:5, just write this down. It says, behold, the days come, the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and execute just judgment and justice in the earth. That is why God raised this branch up as an heir to Abraham, talking about the land that was given unto him, and unto David, a promise to David, a sprout a root God has raised up, his own root, and it shined in the heavens, or even back into the days before there was a word of God. Let me tell you this. Before there was a word written, God wrote in the heavens by the zodiac that he was going to send a redeemer. He was going to send a king. That is what the zodiac's for. It's not to tell you your fortune. It's not to tell you you're going to be rich. The zodiac was designed to tell you that even though man failed, I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send my branch in the earth, and he's going to execute judgment. He's going to execute righteousness. Now, how does that fit us? We who are kings under him, we are to maintain that righteousness in the earth. We have a responsibility not just to see him in history pass as he came through the streets of Jerusalem and fanning was he was getting fanned with palm leaves. That's more to it than that. We who are kings, we who are part of him, are to maintain that righteousness, are to maintain that judgment. In other words, letting folks know right from wrong. But we do it in a humble attitude. We don't condemn them. We don't condemn the people. We show them love. God showed him love. He loved so much. This king loved so much that he laid his life down. So I'm here to present you Jehovah's king in the earth. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Raised up in righteousness. Hallelujah. And he's telling him, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger. In other words, when newcomers come into this sanctuary, we're to treat them with the love of God.
Amen.
When they begin to become a part of things, see, what happens is a lot of times when newcomers come in and they're excited about the things of God, and we've been sitting on our seat to do nothing, and they begin to get into stuff, then we want to get in and interfere with them.
Come on now.
We want to interfere with them. We want to knock them off the track a little bit. Make them sit down like we sit down. But God says, do no harm, do no wrong, do not maltreat them. Do not take away violently. Do not imagine wrongly against them. Because if you start imagining wrong, you will begin to put that imagination into action. See, the thought is conceived first. It starts here. Then it germinates, and then it comes into reality. So we don't do any wrong to the stranger. The fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. What is that place? In the body.
That's right. That's right.
We're to maintain the righteousness of God. That is what we're supposed to do. Maintain. He set it forth. Everything comes forth from God. Everything comes forth from his authority. This king has come and set this up in the earth and delivered the spoil of those who have been robbed of the things of life, those who have been robbed of their peace, robbed of their joy, robbed of their love. God has come to give it back by the hand of authority. God has raised this one up in the earth to execute the judgment. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go to the book of Luke. We might not be here very long. We got food upstairs. We're going to celebrate. The book of Luke presents the Lord as Jehovah's man. We have the king. Now we have the man. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Growing up out of his place and growing up brings out the perfections of Christ as the perfect man. Go to Deuteronomy 10th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I'm sorry, the 12th verse. Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
Amen.
The commandments of the Lord are for thy good. This is what Jehovah's man represented. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he was a man. Let's get that straight. A lot of times when, you know, folks don't understand the revelation of God. God became man. He was in creature form. And God just reduced that and implanted it in the woman. Mm-hmm. What are you saying? He was in creature form. Well, we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks in the Bible study, the captain of the host that Joshua met.
Okay.
The captain of the host, that was Jesus. So in other words, he was already here. He was already informed, but God in his miraculous wanted to implant him, so he implanted him in a virgin.
Amen.
And the man came forth. He had the nature of man. In other words, there wasn't no alien or nothing like that, or no divine being in disguise. In other words, the thing of it is, we talking about him executing judgment. We just about read about him obeying the word. The men and women of God will obey the word. Why? Because you got a real nature in there that you got to overcome. So you have to love the Lord your God. Now, human genealogy, when you look at the book of Luke, is required. Just like genealogy in the book of Matthew.
Yeah, yeah,
in other words, to prove that he was royalty, you had it from Abraham on down. To prove that he was a man, you have the genealogy from Adam on down. This is proof positive that he was a man and he was a human being. Okay.
Amen.
Now, we go the other way, because a lot of folks think because he came forth as a man that he was not God.
Come on now.
He just showed up in Matthew when they start talking about the virgin. No, 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 no. He was back in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
When you read that word, the Lord your God is not just one word. It can be several words.
Amen.
The Lord talks about Jehovah. God talks about the second person of the Godhead, Jehovah Elohim, which means God, the Creator. They are inseparable and they flow one to the other. Now, God the Father had the covenant with Israel, but Jesus was there also. Who do you think wrote the Ten Commandments? It was by Jesus the Ten Commandments came. Why is that? Because as the Creator, now he can dictate to all creatures his law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And everyone and every creature in creation has to come up under that law. If Jehovah, who is covenant God to Israel, had said it, then man could have said, you were talking to them and you weren't talking to me, so I don't have to obey your word. See, God is intelligent. He's the one. He had Jesus give forth the word. So now this man, God is raised up. Now we're going to go back to Zechariah, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. 6 and 12. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll wait for some more. Remember, we're presenting Jehovah as God's man, the branch. Just presented him as the king, the branch.
Right.
Now we're presenting him as the man. Zechariah 6 and 12. It says, and speak to unto him, saying, thou speaketh, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. That is what we're supposed to do. As men and women of God, we're supposed to help maintain the temple.
Amen.
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 We're to maintain righteousness as king. We are to maintain the temple as a man. Now, once again, it says he shall sprout up out of his place. Go to Luke, first chapter. We're going to be jumping a little bit here. But it's very important to get you to understand. And what I'm trying to get you to understand is the differences between the Gospels. Because it was not an accident. God designed them to be different, to bring out the different points that he wants to come out. Luke, first chapter, and the 80th verse. Everybody have it, say amen. It says, and the child, talking about Jesus, grew and waxed strong in the spirit, or he waxed strong spiritually and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. Go to the second chapter of Luke and the 40th verse. Luke 2 and 40. Everybody had that?
Yes.
And the child grew and waxed strong. That word in the spirit is not there. Filled with wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and the grace of God was placed upon him. This is, once again, it's talking about his man. Now I'm just going to read Isaiah, because we want to make sure we get out of here on time when we're flowing. And the Spirit of the Lord, as Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, that which proceeds from God, and understanding, which proceeds from God, talking about discernment, and the Spirit of counsel, which proceeds from God, talking about advice, and the Spirit of might, talking about valor and victory, the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In other words, the man of God depends upon God. This man of God depended upon God and prayed. He was always praying. He was a man of prayer. We have to be men and women of prayer.
Amen.
In other words, to communicate with God. And prayer is not always talking about, Lord, I need this.
Right.
Lord, I need that. Lord, this was in trouble. Yeah, you do have those supplications. But when he talks about prayer, he's talking about devotion. And what I mean by that, Lord, I thank you because you're a mighty God. Lord, I give you praise because you're the God of heaven and earth. Lord God, you are my provider, and I give you praise. You are the great I am. You're the lily of the valley. That's what we're supposed to be praying. You can pray that prayer all day and never get tired. You can only ask for so many things before you run out. But prayer and praying, that's why he could accomplish what he accomplished. Because he always glorified the Father in praying.
Amen.
Third verse in Isaiah, it says, he shall make of him quick understanding.
Uh-huh.
In other words, this man's delight is in the reverence of God. You got to love God. Got to love him. We always say God loves us. Question is, how much do you love God?
Amen.
That's what you have. That's what each individual has to question. How much do you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ear. Meaning, as a man of God, we are not to allow what we see and to what we hear influence us.
Amen.
Amen.
Along with the other saints and along with other people who are not saints. Mm. See, this Jesus was inclusive. In Luke, the Lord is especially presented as the friends of publicans and sinners, friends of the outcast of society, is manifesting tenderness, compassion, and sympathy, which went beyond the limits of national prejudice. Remember, they were Jews, and Jews didn't get along with everybody. That's when you have the account of Jesus with the woman at the well. She was Samaritan. She was an alien. And yet, this woman, because of the love of God that was in him and that was displayed, she brought her whole family to meet the man.
Amen.
That's what the love of God is all about. It's beyond, let me tell you something. We get caught up in race.
Amen. Amen.
When we're supposed to be his race.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
God doesn't care about you. Let me tell you something. He is, once again, he is Jehovah Elohim. That means he is God in creation. And he created all men. He created the white, the black, the red, the yellow. He created all the races for his good will and pleasure. So how can I talk about I'm going to hate somebody or not associate with somebody because they are a different color when God himself came down and took human form and blew the breath of life into that man, and that man reproduced the red, the white, the black, the green. He reduced them all. He reproduced. Therefore, as a man of God, I have to be all inclusive also. Whoever comes into my realm, I am to display the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. That is what Jehovah's man does. Come on and give God some praise. Now we're going to move on to the book of Mark. Go to Isaiah 42. We're going to start at the first verse. Isaiah 42 and 1. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delight. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now, go to Matthew 12th chapter. Matthew 12th chapter. We're going to start at the 18th verse. Everybody have that say amen.
Amen.
It says, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall neither strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, that is read from, this is New Testament as opposed to Old Testament. The reason why it is repeated here in this New Testament is because the scripture is being fulfilled here.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
Behold my servant. The book of Mark presents Jehovah's servant brought forth for the Lord's service. Henceforth, there's no genealogy required. Why? Because service ain't counted as nothing. Okay? Not counted as nothing. And he is presented as what he is before the Lord relative to earth's lowest position. Jesus is the ideal servant.
Amen.
Going back to Matthew again. It says, behold, my child, my servant, whom I have taken hold of, and I support, in whom I, talking about Jehovah his Father, am well pleased. I found delight in him.
Amen.
I will put my spirit, my character in him. And he shall declare unto the nations. And that's what he's declared by his word. He's declared that he is the servant of God. He said, 19, he said, he shall not strive. In other words, he shall not contend, nor cry, nor make outcry or clamor, nor shall any man his voice in the street. When they took the servant in and judged him and began to beat him, there was no outcry.
Amen.
There was no clamor. There was no fight. Mm-hmm. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break. In other words, when servants get pushed under pressure, they don't break. As a servant of God, we cannot allow ourselves to be broken by things and by circumstances when we serve God.
Amen. Amen.
We've had a rich history here at this church, and yet we had some tough times here.
Amen.
And as servants of God, it was put upon you, and you had to take it. And you couldn't strive. In other words, wasn't no fighting in the house of God. Wasn't no outcry, no screaming, and no hollering. You had to do what you had to do. You may have been bruised, but you couldn't allow yourself to be broken.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, the example. He says, and smoking flax shall he not quench. The servant's duty in the temple was to keep the fire lit on those candles. They had to trim them. They had to make sure that they did not go out. That was the priest's job. We as priests of the New Testament, we cannot allow the fire of God to go out in our lives.
Amen.
Why? Because even though in the midst of our servitude, in the midst of our being humble, the light of Jesus has to be able to shine forth through our lives. So that means if you're in a low position, which he was, you still have to let your light shine.
Amen.
You still have to allow the nature and the character of God come forth. Yet you still have to be humble. You have to obey them that have the rule over you.
Amen.
Sometimes that's hard. I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard because you'll be put under folks that, I'm just putting it like this, that don't know what they're doing. But because they're in that position, you have to obey God.
Amen.
When you do what God requires, God will begin to bless you.
Amen.
He will begin to open up your eyesight to see, to allow you to see what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I told this one story before, I'll tell it again. A lot of times the pastor, before Pastor Gardner became pastor, would go out of town. And, you know, as a choir director, you know, I was seeking the Lord to what songs we should sing in order to give God glory.
Right.
Well, a lot of times didn't get a chance to do that because the service was being conducted by remote control. Meaning, I would get orders on what to sing before I got up, even though those who were in charge were not here. And I used to find, I'm like, Lord, how are you going to do that? You're going to conduct the service even though you're not here? You know, you're supposed to allow the Spirit of God to move. So I went to Pastor Gardner. And I told him my situation. Sister Sherry's back there because she's one of the messengers that used to come and give me the word. For a while there, I got pretty good. When I knew they were going to be out of town, I would avoid them. They couldn't find me until it was too late. But this particular Sunday, they found me. I was like, dang, damn it. Man. So once again, I went to Pastor, and he told me, sing the songs that they told you to sing. And then have the choir sing the song that put upon your heart. When I did that, it was an explosion of God's anointing in that place.
Amen.
What I found out was, through servitude, that obedience to God's word will increase the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
From that point forward, I didn't worry about whether they gave me orders or not anymore. Because I knew God was going to show up anyway.
Amen. Amen.
See, even in the midst of your servitude, in the midst of you being pressed, you still have to keep your eyes on the prize, which is the high calling in Christ Jesus. He said, behold the servant, look at him. He's your example. Jesus is your example. He did not cry out when they were beating him. He didn't fight back. He took it. A lot of times we don't want to take it as servants. But in order to increase the kingdom or increase the glory of God, we've got to do it. Now, he said, smoking flax shall not quench till he sends forth his judgment. In other words, what was hidden is now being brought out. What was being, when I first got here, I never knew anything about the nature and the character of God. I didn't know that that was what we were supposed to allow to come forth out of our lives. We were supposed to talk about living for Jesus. You know, Jesus is supposed to, I'm not supposed to live for him. He's supposed to live through me.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
See, we get it mixed up. Oh, I'm going to live for Jesus. No, if I'm living for Jesus, then I'm messing up. That's he don't right. need me to live for him. Amen. He wants to live through me so that everybody else can see the better way. My way not going to get nobody saved. My way not going to encourage nobody. Because my way is sometimes.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel get up, kick them feet over the bed and feel like running and jumping. And some days I don't want nobody to say nothing. I don't want nobody to say nothing. Don't just go away. Well, as a born-again believer, as God's servant, you can't be like that. You can't allow those things, even though those things happen, you can't allow those things to dictate how you Amen. Move in God.
Amen.
Jesus didn't allow those things. He was the ideal servant. Come on and give God some praise. And even though he was sent to the Jews, we all inherit what he got sent to. Now, God raised the branch up to the Jews, but the Jews rejected it. They didn't want what was on the branch. They didn't want that fruit that was on the branch. So God said, I'm going to have me a people that are not a people. Right. And now we are his people. Right. We make up his body. We are very important. We're just as important as Israel was. Why? Because we have accepted the servant into our lives and we trust in his name. Come on and give God some more praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he is that high priest that has been touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Now, Zechariah 3:8, just write it down. It says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. He is the high priest. It's telling Joshua, then those were the ones who were brought out of the captivity. Jesus will bring you out of captivity. He will bring you out of captivity of despair,
yes,
of fear.
Yes, he will.
All of those things that are anti-God, he will bring you out of. He says, thou and thy fellows, your colleagues that sit before thee, they were priests also. He said, for your men wondered that they were men of sign. In other words, they were signs of what was going to come. He said, behold, I will bring forth Messiah, my branch. I will bring forth my high priest who is able to carry out the sin. In other words, we're supposed to be able to deal with folks so that they want to turn their life over to Jesus. Yeah. That's the idea. So that's why we come to them in humility. We don't come boasting. We boast about God. We don't boast on ourselves. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Go back to Isaiah the 40th chapter. We're almost done. We've seen Jehovah, the Lord, presented as king. We've seen, which is the highest position, we've seen him presented as a man, the ideal man, was all-inclusive. And we have seen him presented as God's servant.
Yeah.
Now we're going to look at him in this last portion. Isaiah 40th chapter and 9th verse. Start reading. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen. Amen.
O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold the branch, God himself. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, that tell the good tidings. The only one who can tell good tidings is God.
Right, amen.
Zion, I'm telling you good tidings. Get you up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you the good news too. Lift up your voice for strength. Cry it out. In other words, when they didn't have megaphones and microphones back in those days. In other words, when you wanted to tell some noise or make some noise, you had to get up in a high place and shout down. God, through these folk, are shouting down from heaven to get up, lift yourselves up, get ready, be not afraid, because I'm going to send your God unto you. The Lord presented as Jehovah himself. He don't need no genealogy because he was, he is, and he ever shall be.
That's right.
No.
That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
And he is prevented before God what he is, what his nature is, and his nature is divine.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my
God.
Amen.
Isaiah 4:2 says, don't turn to it, just write it down. He says, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now these were written unto Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they were written unto Israel. But Israel rejected them. But God did not forget about them. He said, in that day, after all the judgments are done, my branch... who is glorious, why? Because they rejected him. He was ugly to them.
My Lord.
But after he delivers them, he's going to be beautiful. He's going to be for honor and for glory.
Hallelujah.
And those that escaped the destruction of the great tribulation, they're going to be looking for him.
My Lord.
And he's going to come unto them. And let me tell you something, we're going to be with him because we part of the body.
Yeah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
And he is the great I am. He's that word in the beginning. Go to John 1. I want to show it to you. You've seen it before, but I just want to show it to you. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That takes care of all of those other ones talking about that he's not God. He was in the beginning with his Father, and he came down unto us, and he is the one who was and is and ever shall be. And he is the Word. He is the one from above. He is the door. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way. He's the living way. And he's the true man, and we are his branches. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. So when you study these scriptures, don't worry about the similarities. Just remember what God is trying to point you out. He's trying to point out the King of Kings. He's trying to point out his ideal one. He's trying to point out his servant. And he wants to let you know that that servant, even though he was a servant, even though he was a man, even though he was a king, that that one is God himself. Hallelujah. It should be received as such. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're part of him. Even though he was sent to the Jews, he sent him to us. Hallelujah. We are his people. We are made up of his body. We make him up. We are the cells in his body. He said, it's just like my skin. My skin holds all the contains on the inside. He's my covering this morning. Hallelujah. And he fills me up with his grace. His grace is in me because his spirit is in me. And I have favor with God. And let me tell you, I'm not alone because he has many members. We are a corporation in him. And we move in him. And we have our being in him. Jesus. Glory to God. I'm done. Come on and give the great one some praise. Come on and lift his name up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the mighty one. Hallelujah. The lily of the valley and the bright morning star. Come on and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have everybody stand. Thank you, Jesus.